put you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He is Lord. He is above all, over all. In Him we live and move and have our being. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything has been made by His hand. The light and the dark, good and evil, Isaiah 45 says God made evil. So it's not a duality as such. The whole thing is made by Him. It wasn't. It's not God on one side and the devil on the other. It's God making both the light and the dark, and them both serving His purposes, His plan, His reason. That, you know, part of our understanding in this life is to come to peace with the reality and the world that we live in, and then to go through the joy and the experience of moving from one spot of, you know, not understanding to a realization and a revelation of who we are, and then walking that out into fruition as a child of light. It's an incredible journey. But in the process, you have to realize that there's a lot of things that have been set up and established in this life. It's kind of like a gauntlet that you and I have to navigate through in our time and our season in this life. And the reason, too, that the instruction from Christ, who is truth, John 14:6, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. The instruction from truth is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, and out of that love, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if you're loving Him with everything that you are, if you're seeking Him, if you're asking and seeking and knocking, you're going to find, you're going to receive, and the door is going to be opened for you. Now, part of that in that process is there's, once you start pursuing that path of truth, you are going to now encounter a gauntlet of things that you're going to end up having to walk through, maneuver through in this life in order to come to the fruition of who God wants you to be. That's part of what's been set up, because here's the thing, if there's something in you that doesn't want Him, then you're going to be persuaded and dissuaded by that. And you're going to kind of go in that particular direction rather than Him. And part of, you know, people going in a different direction is also a revelation of who they are, and that they really are not marked for Him, and they really are marked for something else. So let me give an example of this. Let's go to John chapter 19. And verse 13 says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, I want this statement to resonate and to sit home with what was said here by these guys. The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, here's the thing. All right. In this day, in this context, in what Jesus came into in the earth, in truth, coming into the earth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So truth coming into the earth, the way coming into the earth, life coming into the earth. And Jesus has always been a way. He has always been a path. He has always been absolute truth. And when Pilate came and spoke to the chief priests, who were the heads of the religious institutions of the day when he said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Or, "Shall I crucify the truth? Shall I crucify the way? Shall I crucify the light? Shall I get rid of the truth? Shall I get rid of the way? Shall I get rid of the light?" And what is their response? "We have no king but Caesar." Now, interesting, isn't it, that of all the things that could have been their king, of all the things that could have been the place where their allegiances ultimately lay, their allegiance was to Caesar. Now, here's something that's kind of interesting, too, in some of my other studies that I kind of have seen, is that under the Roman tradition as well, Caesar was worshipped as a god. You know, now the Romans worshipped all kinds of gods. They worshipped Mars, and they worshipped, you know, like all kinds of stuff. But Caesar was in there as a god that they worshipped. And for the chief priests to ultimately say that when push came to shove, here is truth, here is light, here is the way, because that is who Jesus is. When push came to shove, here's the Word made flesh, 1 John. Here's the Word made flesh. And when it came down to it, shall I crucify, shall I put to death, shall I end this? Was what Pilate asked. And they said, "We have no king but Caesar. Our God is somebody else," essentially is what they were saying. On a spiritual level, that's what they were doing. Now, here's the thing about it. Think about the religious institutions of the day. Because when Jesus encountered them, he kept saying that he had a lot of harsh words for them. "Woe, woe, woe, woe unto you, Pharisees." And he would go through a list of different things with them. And you should check those ones out sometime. But just, you know, part of it was, look, you guys, you don't enter into the kingdom, and you stop other people from entering into the kingdom. You know, he talked about, you know, look, They're the ones that sit in Moses' seat. But you get, and so you got to hear what they're saying, but don't do what they do. Don't be who they are. Because inside, they're like whitewashed sepulchers. They're whitewashed tombs. They're polished on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of dead men's bones and corruption and deception and greed. All kinds of wickedness is inside of them. Now, ultimately, what did the chief priests say to Pilate? Ultimately, they said, "Our allegiance is to Caesar. Our allegiance is to the state. Our allegiance is not to the one true living God." No. Now, isn't that incredible? Because in their day-to-day practice, the place that they would stand and the place that they would sit is in Moses' seat. So they would sit in a place where they are supposed to be representing light, truth, the way, but in the end, when it comes down to it, where's their allegiance? Where's their spiritual allegiance? It's to Caesar. It's to the state. Now, this has always been a satanic structure and a satanic setup, through and through. Throughout history, this is the way that that Satan has worked, is he will put that peace out there, and usually it's for material benefit, power, control, the ability to be something in the world, and in exchange for a piece of their soul, which continues to grow and grow and ultimately block out the real truth and the ability to hear and receive a real word from God, but you know, they will go that way. They will give their spiritual allegiance to Caesar. They will worship Caesar in the end. Now, here's the thing. The chief priests, day in and day out, they were doing all the temple worship. Oh, yeah. They would do the temple worship. They would go there. They would offer the sacrifices. They would do all those things. But when it came down to it, where was their allegiance? It was to the state. Because they didn't want to lose their position. They didn't want to lose their place. Now, when Jesus shows up, he the problem that people had with him, especially the people that were in those positions, is because when he showed up and light and truth shone through him, freedom, the way shone through him, and they couldn't stop it. They couldn't stop it because people recognized that he spoke with power, he spoke with authority, he spoke under the Spirit and with the Spirit of God flowing through him. He is the Word made flesh, and they couldn't stop it because people then knew, wait, this is it. So what was their response? We got to kill this. We got to stop this. We can't let this get out. We can't let this go any further. Because if it goes any further, we're going to lose our position. We're going to lose our power. We're going to lose our control over the people. So they want to kill him. And how do they try to kill him? You know how many times they tried to set up Jesus? How many times they sent deceitful workers to him, and they would try to flatter him, and they would try to, but they would just try to set him up in trick questions. They structured their own questions that seemingly had no possible right answer. Oh, so they would put him in a situation. So they would set him up, they would try to set him up in situations in their own mind, in their own thinking, where there would be no right answer. So then as soon as they'd ask the question, they could trap him. Because then they set you up with a situation like that, and then you turn around, there is no right answer, but then they press you for the answer, you give them the best one possible, and then they turn it around and try to get you killed. They've been doing this throughout. Setting up over and over and over again. Good and honest people. In the meanwhile, they're corrupt through and through. But Jesus had a way. Wisdom from on high. That with every question and every trap that they tried to lay for him, he walked right through it. Every time they tried to take him out, he walked right through it. Why? Because no one took his life from him. He could lay it down of his own accord and take it back up again. And you, as a child of God, as you walk with him, you have been given that same power. No one takes your life from you. You lay it down of your own accord and you take it back up again. When we leave this life, brothers and sisters, we are not going to leave this life by accident. It's not going to be, oops. Oh, I can't believe that happened kind of thing. No. We're going to be in a place of peace and understanding, and God is speaking to us, and for us, we will know, okay, our time's drawing near. You know that I see that. I see that with the children of God throughout. When their time was drawing near, like Paul, he knew the time was coming up for him. Like Jesus, he knew. He set his face resolutely to go to Jerusalem. Like Peter, you got to read some of the early church accounts to see what happened with a bulk of these guys. Of the time, they knew when the time was coming. That it was like, okay, I've run my race. I've run my race. I've finished the task. And now I am going to carry on, and I'm going to go on to the next thing, in the next dimension, in the next paradigm with what God has for me. And I've completed that which God has for me here, in this life, in this world. You see, instead of trying to go the way of the world, see, the world is full of, they don't know what's coming next. But for us, we serve the God that sees all. And has been there from the start to the finish of this whole thing. So there's no surprises for us. But when they've gone the way of the world, they've cut themselves off. They've cut themselves off from life and light and truth and the ability to see, to hear, to understand anything. So they're just making guesses all the time. That's why they sometimes tune into here as well, just because they're just trying to get some information. But listen, you won't ever understand unless you're connected to truth. And you won't ever have the real truth unless you get it from the source. And he is the source. Christ is the source. So you can't go the way of Caesar and expect to have truth. You can't go the way of Caesar and expect to not be deceived. You can't go the way of Caesar and expect to not die a withering death, meaning the second that you're cut off from the life and the light and the truth, you just start to die at that moment, instantly. Because it's just like a branch that gets cut off from a tree. You know, there may be a little bit of something still flowing through that branch just from a residual of being connected to the tree. But as time goes on a little bit, it will just be completely dead. And all the life just drains out of it. And there's nothing left. And then it's just picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. There's no other use for it. Anyone that's gone the way of Caesar has gone that way. And the only way that they perpetuate their system is by trying to suck life off of those that are still connected to life. So that's why, too, when they destroy or they go through a window or a push of trying to stomp out light and truth, it backlashes on them. Because also, too, they're destroying that which brings life into this world, that which is connected to the source, that where creativity and creation flows. Creation flows through the people of God. Creation flows through those that are connected to the source of creation. The only thing the devil can do is manipulate that which is already here. But he can't create anything. Because the devil is impotent. There's no creation, creative ability in him. He can only manipulate that which he already has to work with. So, it's a deception. But there's nothing there. There's only death there. You can't create anything with death. You can only move the furniture around the deck of the Titanic. You don't have any steel to build something new. But in the way of the chief priests, and they said, "We have no king but Caesar." What they were revealing and showing is their spiritual allegiance in the end. Now, here's one thing that's interesting to me. They that postured themselves to speak for God, those that were the ones that should be the teachers of the truth, that should be showing people the way to be free, in the end, they were bound. And they were slaves to the world and the world system. They had given themselves over to that. Now, what did they teach? Here's my question, too. What did they teach? If you go back and you look at it, they had wrapped people up into all kinds of religious bondage. Jesus said of them, he said, "You guys, you will nullify the law of God so that people can observe your man-made teachings." And he gave some examples of them. If you're going to give a gift or if you're going to do something for your parents, but then you say, "Whatever I was going to do for you is korban," that means that it's a gift that's dedicated unto God, and therefore they don't take care of their parents, but then they go and they put it into the temple. Why? Why did they make that? Because they were the ones that benefited off the temple. So if they could rob people's homes and their houses and make sure that they themselves were taken care of, even at the expense of other people, they would do that. Oh man, they created so much religious bondage. I mean, the whole thing about the mat. When Jesus healed the guy, he said, "Take up your mat and walk." The only reason he told the guy to take up his mat and walk was to mess with the Pharisees. There's no other reason. So take up your mat and walk. Why? Because they had created a religious system that nobody on the Sabbath could even carry a mat. So when they see this guy carrying his mat, "Oh wait, you've now broken with convention, brother. You've now broken with our religious practice. You now have stepped outside of the man-made system that we've created. And now we're going to punish you." But here's the thing. He had already had an encounter with the one true living God. He had already known the truth because the truth had been revealed to him in Christ revealing himself to him. So when Jesus healed him, which they had no power in and of themselves to do, all they could do is tell him what he should do and what he shouldn't do. The focus is completely on behavior and their creation of what they think is sin, not what is even truly sin, but that which is their creation, the mental gymnastics that they put people through. And in the end, what happened? Well, the guy's like, "Well, I'm healed. Jesus just healed me. I've been stuck here for decades in a miserable position, and now I've just had an encounter with life and light and truth and the way just said, take up your mat and walk. I'm taking up my mat and walking. I don't care." what kind of rules and traditions I'm breaking. If I get a word from the head, who is Christ Jesus, I'm going that way because, hey, I'm healed. Hey, I know the truth now. It's been revealed to me. And so when Jesus did that, what did he do? He messed with their system. He revealed that these man-made teachings and these stupid religious structures do nothing for the walk, nothing for the soul and the spirit, nothing for the spiritual being that you've been made to be, but is just another form of manipulation and control by the people who are ultimately aligned and their allegiance is with the state. Their allegiance is with Caesar. They said it. They said it themselves. Their allegiance is with Caesar. So where are you going to go with that? Would you trust someone to give you spiritual counsel when they've said that ultimately they're worshiping another god? That ultimately their allegiance is with another place? That they have no king but Caesar? And they're giving you spiritual counsel. Okay, for those of you that are in America, let's try this one on for size. What about the 501c3 status? 501c3 is a tax-exempt status that religious organizations in the U.S. take in order to get a tax exemption from the government. So that when they collect funds, that they don't have to pay tax on it. Do you think that money comes without condition? Or do you think that status comes without expectation? There are things that you can't talk about if you take that. There are things that you cannot say. There are subjects that you cannot get into, which incidentally Jesus got into, incidentally John the Baptist got into, incidentally Elijah the prophet got into, incidentally every single servant of the living God that's ever walked the face of the earth got into, that you can't talk about if you have a 501c3 status. Bullshit. You're going to stand up there and you're going to pledge your allegiance to Caesar, and then you're going to try to tell me what God said? Yeah, I didn't think so. Oh, but you know what they will do? Here's what they will do. They will focus on behavior. Yes. Yes, let's spend all our time focusing on behavior, shall we? Let's spend all of our time focusing on what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And then now who's watching who? And telling each other, are we good enough? Are you good enough? Have you done it the right way? Did you read the latest book, brother? 12 Steps to a Great and Wonderful Life. Golly, what a mess. No wonder when Jesus showed up, he started knocking over all the tables of the money changers and the ones selling doves. No wonder it's just like, you got to clean this mess up. They've turned his house into a den of thieves and robbers. There is no truth in there. When he shows up, and why? Because they are standing there pretending to be the servants of God. That's why they got to wear the robe. That's why they got to wear the collar. That's why they got to wear the purple shirt. That's why they got to wear all these other things. That's why they got to stick something on the wall. Because if you didn't see those things, you would realize you're looking at a pedophile. You're looking at a child molester. You're looking at people that just want to get access to your kids. You're looking at people that are just trying to plug you for 10% of your income. Those that are going to guilt you and shame you into manipulating you into doing whatever they want you to do. Oh, we didn't see you last week. Where were you? We were concerned about you. We're praying for you. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I know the one true living God. Because when Jesus has revealed himself to you, you will pick up your mat and walk. You don't care what somebody else says because you know God. You know the one you serve. And you are persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything you can ask or think. You know the one you serve. Listen, I know there's some pastors that plug into this message here. Drop your allegiance to the state. Repent. Get right with God. Listen, if you're going to do a charity, if you're going to do a social service organization, fine, keep it. That's all you're doing. If you're going to do a social service organization because you're not preaching truth, you're just giving out clothes and food and doing all that, fine. But if you're going to preach the Word, if you're going to preach the truth, you have one source where that comes from, and that is Christ Jesus, and nowhere else. You do not give your spiritual allegiance to the state and expect that to not have an implication and an impact into the Word that comes out of you. It has an effect, people. It has an effect. You can't go into certain places like that. You cannot, you can't sign on that line and expect it in the end to not carry over. It's going to affect you. That's why Jesus said, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. You got to come out from there. You got to come out from there. You're not going to change it from inside. It's never going to change from the inside because it's dead. There's no life in there. And you're not going to breathe life into that because God is not in that. You don't have the life in you to breathe it into you, into them. The life that's been given to you that you have is because you remain in Him. You remain in Him and His words remain in you, and that's how you bear fruit. That's how you go forward in life. You don't try to separate yourself from God, go over to that side and expect to take life with you in there. He's not there. He's not in that. They're allowed to exist for a window and a season because it reveals part and parcel of God's plan and purpose. But that's not where you go. That's not what you're part of. You know, in this country, in the U.S., as I'm here, I struggle to find anybody in the mainstream that's actually a preacher of truth that's not been compromised. That's not looking for a handout from the state. You're not going to be able to do that. There's things that God wants to be spoken of. He wants righteousness and correction to come through those that are His. And you're not going to do it from a platform where you're bought off and you're paid off. We talked about this in another recent audio. We talked about it in the Man of God. That was the one that's up there. Go look for G-Talk. It's called The Man of God. And listen to that one. We went through 1 Kings 13. There was an old prophet in the land. Never had a word. God had to send somebody in from outside. And the old prophet had a way of getting the other guy killed. Because he faked it pretty well. Oh, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. No, he's not. No, he's not. There's people that stand up there and they try to preach and they like to come around me sometimes and they're like, oh, I'm just like... No, you're not like me. You're not. We go wherever the Lord leads us. We do whatever He has for us to do. We have foregone anything and everything in this world in exchange for whatever it is that God has for us. Whatever it may be, up, down, left, right, doesn't matter. Wherever He goes, wherever He leads, we follow. We are His sheep, and we follow His voice. That's who we are. Who are you? You remember when the seven sons of Sceva, they were trying to invoke the name of Jesus, just like Paul was casting out demons in Jesus' name, and they were doing it. And then one day, and they were going into places to cast out demons and saying, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to get out." And one day the demon turned around and looked at them, and he said, "I know Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you?" And he beat them so bad, he sent all seven of them out of the house naked and bleeding. They ran for their lives. Why? Because you can't pretend to be on the side of light and not be known to the powers of the enemy in the kingdom of darkness. Eventually, they're going to call your card. Eventually, something's going to come up, and you're going to be revealed for the liar and the cheat and the fraud and the deceiver that you are. How many people that have been standing up there and pretending to be angels of light and messengers of truth have been found to be something else? I mean, it is ridiculous. The sexual abuse alone in the pulpit and in these, I mean, just knowing that. I mean, what was it? There was an article in the BBC recently where it talked about the Pope was coming out and saying, based on their calculations, 4% of their priests were child abusers, were pedophiles. 4%. And literally, with the number of priests that they have around the world, that goes into the thousands. Now, if I'm getting the statistic off a little bit, you got to go look for the article yourself. But why would you want to take your kids in there and give pedophiles a crack at your kids once a week? Does that sound like good parenting? Does that sound like being responsible? Does that sound like protecting your child? No. Not at all. Evil workers. Satan has ministers that transform themselves into angels of righteousness. They look the part. They talk the part. They wear the right stuff. They all of it. But in the realm of the spirit, they have no king but Caesar. And the world, the thief, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's where they're coming from. So, that being the case, what do you think they're going to do to your kids when they get a crack at them? What do you think they're going to do to your resources if they can get their hooks into them? What do you think they're going to do to you if you give yourself over to that? Listen, you need to take responsibility for your life. You need to take responsibility for who you are while you're here. You don't give your power over to someone else. The only one that you submit yourself to is the Lord of your spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. You submit to the true spiritual kingdom. You know, when Jesus came back and when he preached after his resurrection, and he preached for 40 days after his resurrection, he preached to them about what? What did he talk to them about? Did he focus his time on behavior? Mm-mm. He spoke to them of the kingdom. Focus your thoughts, your heart, your intention, your volition on the kingdom. Listen, we are spiritual beings in natural bodies living out a window of time here in the earth. Why are you going to spend that window living like they live? We're not like them. So you're not going to live like they do. And incidentally, the things that are important to them, they don't matter to us. And likewise, the things that matter to us are not going to be important to them. We are part and parcel of the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom. And for us, in order to walk out the freedom that God has for you, you've got to go with the King. You've got to go with the way that He directs you, that He leads you, He guides you. Listen, when there are other people that get up and they speak, and the ones that are true and the ones that are real, you know what happens with that? All that it does is it just confirms what God's already showing me. As you put yourself on that quest for light and truth, and you seek that which is real, what happens is that God will speak to you. And then, as He speaks to His servants and speaks through His servants, He's going to confirm things along the way that are already things that resonate within you. So you're going to know the truth, because deep calls out to deep. It strikes a chord within. And as it strikes a chord within you, and it comes through a willing vessel that walks with Him, that knows His voice, you can take assurance that you're moving in that right direction. And if there's a caution that's necessary, He'll get you that caution. But you can go forward without... You don't have to be part of the group. You don't have to be part of the collective. You don't need their approval. They have nothing for you anyways. All they're going to do is just sit around twiddling their thumbs and keeping track of each other, binding each other up into all kinds of mental knots. None of them are free. From pulpit to pew, none of them are free. They're not free. If they're honest about it, if they will tell the truth, oh man, well, I remember some of my Pentecostal days, tell the truth and shame the devil. If they will tell the truth, they will admit to you that they're not free. That they're not free, their people aren't free, none of them are free. It is for freedom that He set us free. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. You don't have an abundant life without being free. And you're not going to find freedom inside of the system of the world that is built on slavery, deception, corruption, lies, cheating, manipulation, and all kinds of just stupidness. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I don't want it. They can keep it. There's nothing there for me. There's nothing there for you. Some of that stuff that I hear from there is the dumbest things. Ah, thank God that we're free. Thank God that He met us and He said, take up your mat and walk. We called their bluff. We've called their bluff. And we've seen that they're just impotent, false deceivers whose allegiance is to Caesar. If your allegiance is to Caesar, what do you have to tell me? They have no king but Caesar. I have no king but Jesus. We have no king but Jesus. That is our king. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that instructs us. He's the one that leads us, guides us into all truth. And Him alone we serve. And with that, God bless you. Love you. Keep on keeping on, brothers and sisters in Christ. You can drop us an email, say hi. Faithmix@gmail.com. You know how to do that. And yeah, you know what? Keep on keeping on. We love you guys. Praying for you. God bless you. Talk to you soon.